Okay, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. I'm not sure what the children are learning this morning downstairs, but I saw some X's on the floor downstairs, and it looked like they were going to have a good time today. So, Matthew chapter 7, in our continuing series looking at the parables of Jesus, today we're in verses 24 through 27. The Leaning Tower of Pisa in Italy is going to fall. In fact, scientists travel to Pisa every year to measure the building's slow descent. Now, I know this doesn't sound like a lot, but every year this tower moves 1/20th of an inch. That doesn't sound like much, but it was built in 1173. And so it is now 17 feet out of plumb. Now, they've done some recent renovations and recent work in hopes of keeping it from fully collapsing. We'll have to see. The word Pisa actually means marshy land, which should have given the builders a clue. Like Florida. But not only is it built on marshy land, they only built the foundation 10 feet deep. Now the tower is 179 feet tall. Nick doesn't have to tell me that that's a disaster waiting to happen. And the reason I'm talking about the Tower of Pisa is going to become apparent as we look at our parable in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. It should also give you a clue about our last song. There the word of the Lord says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Well, this parable of Jesus is about two builders who built two houses on two different types of foundations and experienced two very different results. This parable of Jesus teaches us that the foundation that we build our house on is of critical importance. And so as we start looking at this, I want to look at some of the elements that help us to understand about our life choices and why it matters. But before I do that, I want to again encourage you that this story, this parable of Jesus, is for everyone who is listening. You know, I know sometimes you come to church and you go, well, you know, the message is really for that new person or that person over there. We do have that tendency to think that it's not for us. Can I assure you that whether you have been in church for 90 years or this is your first time, this parable of Jesus speaks to you. So as we begin to look at it, notice first the comparisons or what these two builders have in common. And first, they both heard the words of Jesus. The two people in this parable both heard Jesus' message of faith and repentance that's found in verses 24 and verse 26. They both knew the way of salvation. They both heard the gospel, and each one had a reaction to it. Second thing, they both built houses. Each of these people built a house based upon their understanding of what Jesus said. The house in this parable is a picture of our life. That is, each man builds a life based upon how they interpreted the message that they heard from Jesus. That means that both people believe the message of Jesus to a certain point. They each applied the words of Jesus to their life the way that they saw fit. But thirdly, they both built in the same location. Verse 27 describes a rather serious storm. And this storm affected both houses, so they must have been built near one another. But then fourthly, notice that both built similar houses. Nothing is said about the houses being different from one another. They likely used the same materials and likely they used the same design. From the outside, these two homes would look very much the same. In fact, they looked so much the same that you probably would not be able to tell them apart. It kind of reminds me of a tract home. You ever see those? You know, there's thousands and thousands of these homes in this development. Every house is like the one next to it. Oh, every once in a while there'd be a variation in color. Maybe the shutters are a little different, or maybe they would put different colored shingles on it. But other than that, they look exactly the like. They have the same floor plan. They have the same shape. They look exactly alike from the outside. The picture is of how people and how they respond to the gospel message. Just to clarify, the gospel is rather simple. Here it is. It says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." That is the message. That is the gospel that must be believed in order for a person to be saved. The Bible puts it this way, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Salvation is as simple as believing the gospel. But of course, you will also notice in that verse where it says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. See, salvation involves faith in the gospel, but it also includes repentance of sin, a willingness to yield to the lordship and the control of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. So people hear the message. These two builders heard the message and they reacted to it in different ways. And they built their life based upon their response to it. These people build their house in the same location. They weather the same kinds of storms. They work similar jobs. They do the same things. They go to the same churches. They hear the same preaching. They live the same kind of lives. From the outside, looking at them, you really can't tell much difference, if any, between the two. Obviously, the people pictured here in our parable are religious people. They are orthodox in their beliefs. They are serving in and they are supporting the church. They are responsible citizens. Both seem to believe the same things and live the same kind of life. They have a lot in common, at least on the outside. Now, while there are a lot of similarities, there are some very major differences between these two types of people, these two types of builders in our parable. And they are worth noting, for it makes all the difference in the world. One man, it says, built his house on sand. He built his house with little preparation. He found a spot and just began to build his house. Now, sand is unstable, ever-changing, always moving. It offers no stability. It's not a good place to build a house. It will never provide for you a strong foundation. In this context, in the context of our parable, building on sand speaks about the people who hear the gospel, but instead of believing the gospel and coming to faith in Jesus, they believe that they can build their lives on the shifting sands of human philosophy, of wisdom, of their own opinion or religious achievement. They are driven by outward religious appearances. They are driven by faith in themselves rather than in faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. People who build on the sand hear the gospel but choose to save themselves. They hear the gospel and they believe its general message, but they choose to follow God on their own terms. To them, the word of God is open to interpretation. If God commands them to do something, they will choose to obey it if they want to. If they don't like it, they won't. Their lives are built on self-will, self-fulfillment, self-sufficiency, self-satisfaction, and maybe worst of all, self-righteousness. Theirs is a works-based religion that has the appearance of being right, but it lacks the power to save their soul. The Apostle Paul describes this person with these words, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. People build their house on the sand, quite frankly, because it's easy. It requires very little effort. A life built on the sand doesn't have any commitment. There's no sacrifice. There's no faith. People who build on the sand believe that they can pray a prayer, sign a card, join a church, and all will be well. People who build on the sand can turn it on and turn it off, kind of like flipping a switch. They're one way in church on Sunday and completely different on Monday at work. They can be in today and out tomorrow and off again the next day. Sand builders have faith in themselves. And when God makes demands of sand builders and he calls for total surrender to his will, what do they do but make excuses? Jesus encountered this very thing. Listen to this encounter. It says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. You see, people who build their life on religion or self-righteousness and false hopes will not serve God. They will not make the sacrifice. They will only walk the easy path. Because sand builders like instant results, instant rewards, instant satisfaction, and instant pleasure. Sand builders are shallow people who love the heights but hate the depths. But there's another man who built his house on the rock. The word rock in this passage refers to a large outcropping of rock. It refers to bedrock. While one man in our parable built in the sand, the other person dug deep. He dug all the way down in the same location until he reached bedrock. And then he built his house on that rock. This rock doesn't move. It is unchanging and it is stable. Rock offers a great foundation for a house. And building on the rock speaks of people who hear the gospel and believe it to the point that they build their lives on it. The rock in these verses is identified as these words of mine, Jesus says. The rock, in other words, is the gospel. It's the same rock that Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus asked his closest disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, the gospel, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." In that passage, the word rock refers to Peter's confession, his profession of faith in the words of Jesus. It refers to faith in the gospel. You see, rock builders understand that Jesus alone has the power to save souls. Rock builders hear the word of God and they conform their lives to the word of God, not the other way around. They hear what the Bible says when Jesus goes, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." They hear the message of God and respond to the message with all their heart. When Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." They hear the words of the gospel where it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, burdened, and I will give you rest." That message of God strikes them, comes into their lives with absolute clarity. They see it clearly. They hear the truth of God. They believe it. They embrace it and they yield their life to it. And the message changes their lives. What God tells them to do, they do. What God warns them not to do, they avoid. They pay any price. They walk any path. They do anything the Lord tells them to do. The house that's built on the rock is built by someone who realizes that God deserves our very best all the time. They sacrifice, they obey, they do anything to honor the Lord. Rock builders hear the word of God, they hear the gospel, and they make it the foundation upon which they build their lives. And by the way, that's exactly how we know that we are Christians. 1 John chapter 2 says, "We know that we have come to know Jesus if we obey his commands. The man who says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did." So there are two people in our parable who build vastly different lives based upon how they hear and how they respond to the gospel message. One builds his is built on a firm foundation of faith in the gospel and of the Lord Jesus Christ. The other is built on this shifting sand of religion, of works, of ultimately self-righteousness. One of the houses describes the kind of life. Listen, one of these houses describes the kind of house, the kind of life that you, each of you, is building right now. You're either a believer in the gospel and in Jesus, or you have a false religion and a false hope of salvation. Let me remind you that salvation only comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Just in case you missed it earlier, let me tell you what the gospel is again. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So, the question that we all must answer this morning is, are you building your life on the solid rock of the gospel? Or are you building your life on the shifting sand? And the reason that that is important is because there are consequences. The parable tells us that the rains came, and then the floods followed that, and the winds of destruction blew. Now, this image in here is just not about the normal storms of life that come to all of us. It's an image of judgment. In the end, both houses were subjected to the terrible storm of eternal judgment. One stood while the other one was completely and utterly destroyed. The house that was built on the sand could not face the withering judgment of God, and it collapsed. It says, Jesus said, and great was the fall of it. In other words, it was completely destroyed, completely wiped out. There was nothing, listen, there was nothing left to show for the life that was lived in that house. Everything was destroyed. Everything was swept away as if it never existed. And that's a picture of what will happen to every person who builds their life on anything but the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. You see, there's coming a day, a judgment day, when every person will face God. People who are trusting in religion, people who are trusting in good works or some prayer that they might have prayed, some emotional experience perhaps that they had in church, some profession that they made in times of emotional turmoil, or anything else, they will see the house that they have built, the life that they have built, crumble and fall before the judgment of God. The person who builds their life on the sand will spend eternity in hell when they die. Notice in verse 24, the word therefore. The word therefore ties this parable with the verses that came immediately before it. And in verses 21 and 23, it tells this tragic story about some religious people who had built their life on sand. These people faced God with all of their works and all of their self-righteous deeds. And it tells us that they were cast out of his presence. You see, God doesn't accept sinners into heaven based upon their good works or our good works, or because of our religious efforts. He doesn't take attendance in church. God accepts sinners into heaven only when that sinner is in a faith relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5 verse 12 tells us, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Well, the house that was built on the rock experienced the same storm. The rain, the flood, the winds beat on the house. It was battered just like the other one was, but it stood the storm that was thrown against it. This house might have been shaken, but it didn't fall. It stood on a firm foundation. It weathered the storm of judgment. It was because this house is built on the Word of God and the gospel of grace. This house stood because the builder dug deep and he built the house on something greater than himself. The builder built his house on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This builder believed the gospel. The builder believed that Jesus Christ died for our sin. That he rose from the dead. That he has the power to save anyone who would believe in him. This person built his life on Jesus. And because he did that, he was accepted by God. That's how the kingdom of God works. Listen, you can join a church and still go to hell. You can be baptized and still go to hell. You can be a good person, at least by this world's standards and by other people, and still go to hell. You can build a life of religion and self-works and still go to hell. You can build your life on atheism, on human wisdom, or any human philosophy you want to, anything else you can name, and you will still die and go to hell. Only if you build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, on his death and his resurrection, will your house stand and you will live in eternity in the presence of Almighty God. Don't you love this parable? You know, the person who built his house on the sand did not intend for his house to fall. He thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was building a house that would stand against anything that would come its way. He had confidence that his house would stand. And he was wrong. His confidence is not in the Lord. It was in himself. His confidence was misplaced. Now, there was nothing wrong with this guy's house. There was nothing wrong with the materials. There was nothing wrong with the house. The problem was with the foundation. And that's the lesson before us today. If you are building your house on anything but the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel, it will fall. It might look really sturdy. The materials could be all right. It could be decorated wonderfully. Other people may look at your house and envy. I wish I had a house like that. Everyone else might think that your house is just fine. But if it's built on the wrong foundation, it will fall. It will fail you. You will be lost forever, and you will spend your eternity in hell. By the way, the man who sold this land to the two builders were the false prophets that were mentioned in verses 15 through 20. Little word of warning here. Beware of anyone who preaches any gospel except for the gospel of salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Beware of anyone who says that salvation is anything but grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. Listen, everyone in this room is building a spiritual house. Every day, you're out there attaching boards, driving nails, maybe even adding on a room, trying to improve your spiritual house. And regardless of what you do to the house that you are building, what matters most is the foundation you are building it on. Please be sure that you are building your house on the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of grace. If you have realized, perhaps in this last few minutes that I've been talking, that you're building your house on the wrong foundation. Maybe you're realizing this after building your house on the wrong foundation for 50 years. Good news is, you can change it today. You can come to Jesus. He will save you and he will get you started right away on building your house on the right foundation. I implore you, don't ignore what I'm saying today. And don't think it's for somebody else. It's for you. There's a storm coming. Be forewarned. You've heard it before. You're going to hear it. Be forewarned. A storm is coming. And your house is right in its path. And when that storm comes, the only houses that will stand are the houses that are built on the solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of grace. So if you're discovering, maybe for the first time, maybe you're just realizing that your foundation needs a little bit of work today, or maybe even that you need a new foundation, see me before you leave today. Let's pray and commit that decision to the Lord. Lord, thank you for this great, great parable. Thank you, Father, for your teaching to us that gives to us the clear understanding of how we can spend eternity in your presence. Oh, God, you know that we are self-deceived. You know that so often we tend to live our lives, build our lives on ourselves, trusting in us. But on the outside, it looks really good. We still come to church. We still avoid all the really bad things in life. We help our neighbors. We give money. We serve. We do all the right things. And to many other people, it appears like we're so godly. And yet in our heart of hearts and in our relationship with you, we know that we're building our faith on ourselves and not on you. Oh God, I pray that if there's anyone here today like that, that you would convince them of their wrong and turn them back to you, that they might choose to put their faith in you and you alone for their eternal life. God, for all of us, regardless, you know that our foundation crumbles just a little bit. There are times that we trust in ourselves more than we trust in you as we walk through life. Help us, oh God, today to see those areas, to repent of them, and to give it back to you, that our lives will be built only on the solid foundation of your word and in your gospel of grace, of which we do not deserve, but we are eternally grateful for it. Help us to stay in Jesus' name. Amen.